Wearable computing is not just about having a fancy smartwatch. As companies begin to deploy other types of devices that can track our health or provide us with a lot of information. On this episode of Today in Tech, we're going to explore a bunch of the different ways that we'll be wearing more tech in the future. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Today in Tech. I'm Keith Shaw. Joining me on the show today is Samir Haddad. He is the Chief Product and Strategy Officer for MicroEdge. Welcome to the show, Samir.
Hey, hello. Welcome. And sorry.
That's okay. No, don't worry about it. I'm glad to have you on the show. Can you explain what MicroEdge does, just quickly, just so that people can get a frame of reference for your knowledge in the wearable space?
Sure, absolutely. So MicroEdge, we are a company that creates and that provides a software platform to create smart objects. And especially in the wearable segment, we have our own OS that's called VWare, and that is used by manufacturers to build wearable objects. So that's why we are very well into the wearable market. And we know, we in fact are in contact with many manufacturers that build all kind of smart wearable objects.
Okay. And so last month, the Mobile World Congress event was held, and we saw a lot of prototypes and products around the idea of wearables. It wasn't just focusing on the smart watch anymore. It was rings, bracelets, all sorts of different things. So does this give an indication that we feel like that the future of wearables is going to be moving beyond smartwatches, or not even beyond smartwatches, but just inclusive of a lot more devices?
Yeah, for sure. There are many many types of wearable products. So you, of course, the watch is the most I would say prominent one. As you can see, we all know all of about the big guys like Apple and Google that do smartwatches. But wearable is all over your body. In fact, so you can think about earbuds, the kind of wearables. You have glasses now that are also kind of smart glasses that are wearable as well. And then you can have rings. So you can see you saw the announcement at Mobile World Congress about the Galaxy Ring from Samsung. This is also coming. And then you can have even like some smart pins or like the human one. It's a very new type of wearable that you can see. So yeah, it's all over your body. Anything that you can wear, anything that has some smartness into it, you can consider that as a wearable. And we see that like more, I would say an integration, but more like an explosion of types of wearables. So it's getting more and more diverse.
And why are we now seeing this explosion? Is it because the chips or anything in, a lot of these chips are less expensive to produce? It's easier. It's you can get them in the smaller. They're more flexible. What are some of the reasons why you're seeing more of these?
Exactly. In fact, that's one of the main reasons, is that now it's possible to have basically the power of a small computer in a very small dimension, very small form factor, and also with a very long battery life. So before, you use your chip, but you have like a big battery, so you cannot cannot really wear it. And now you have a very small chip that are very powerful and still very power efficient, so you can do a very small form factor and do something very nice with it.
Okay, and one of the questions I wanted to ask about the difference between wearable computing, but then also smart clothing, because it feels like wearable computing would be defined as accessories that you put on your, you put on your body. So it's, either a watch on your wrist, a ring, a bracelet, like you said, glasses. But whereas wearables would be more, chips embedded into clothing, smart t-shirt sensors, and then I guess you got to go down to the feet. I would something that you're putting on, like shoes or socks, I guess socks would be clothing, but like a smart shoe, would that be considered a wearable or more smart clothing?
Yeah, it's maybe in between.
Yeah.
I think I would consider some wearable that is exactly as you said, more accessories that you can wear every day, more or less. While smart clothing is usually something that you wear just for one specific purpose.
Right.
Because just the practical thing is that with clothes, you have to wash it. So you cannot really wear it every day. So yeah, it's really more like we see smart clothing typically for things like sport, athletes that want to monitor everything in their body. So they have like some very tight clothing with some sensors. And also the thing that we see is that smart clothing is really more about sensing. So it's really sensors. It's not really much about interaction. While the other wearables are, you have interaction, you have action, you have some kind of sort of effect. Basically interaction back and forth between the person.
I think when we talked before the show, you gave a great analogy. It was passive versus active. So wearables like a watch, you would be more active with because you'd be interacting with it back and forth, whereas maybe clothing would just be more passive monitoring. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying about sensing is really more passive. You just monitor what your body is doing. Active, yeah, typically the smartwatch is an example where you can really interact with it. You can change the look and feel. You can launch application and things like that. And even from earbuds, you have the same aspect. With the earbud, you can even speak to it. So it's like you have all the voice interaction. Well, smart clothing is really more about the sensing and the passive. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Passive, so you mentioned earbuds and I think that, for the most part, earbuds are just for usually listening to phone calls, but I saw something that Apple might be working on, adding features to its OS that would allow its AirPods to be more like a hearing aid device. So could we start seeing more and more features that utilize, or more devices that take advantage of the ear versus kind of a watch or something like that? Do you think that we're going to see explosion in that space?
Yes, definitely. So it's already, in fact, you already have a diversity of earbuds already. So there are some companies that already produce some earbuds that are provide some ear enhancement, some kind of hearing enhancement. So because of course, when you do hearing aids, are very expensive, especially in the US. So we have what we call over-the-counter hearing aids that are now available, and a company like Bose, for instance, they have this nice earbud that also can do some hearing aid function. So this is an aspect. And then you have also the interaction, because with Alexa and Siri and all these things, you have kind of a voice assistant function in the earbud, and then you can have select all kind of applications that are sound based, like you can think about radio or I would say music,
right? Right.
Or even assistant again. And of course, with the Gen AI now, you can have assistants that are very smart. So I'm expecting to see this kind of thing coming with earbuds.
I'm wondering if, do you think that we could ever get to a point where maybe the earbud acts as a standalone system rather than just as a pass or as a go between a phone or maybe even your watch? It'd be nice have to have the phone, but then, you know, have an earbud that acts as a music player, connectivity device, phone.
Yeah.
But I guess that's dreaming too much, because the battery life would probably be a big issue.
No, in fact, there are some technology now. So that to some extent, in fact, one of the aspect of being able to have your earbuds as an autonomous device, it needs to connect to the network. So there are two ways you can do that. You can do with cellular. That's, we don't have earbuds with cellular. It requires too much power.
Right.
But what we are starting to see is earbuds with a Wi-Fi connection. And Wi-Fi connection means that you can be untethered. You don't need the mobile phone. Yeah, at least when you are in your home setting, you can just...
Right, as long as you're within that 300 feet or...
Exactly, and you have the Wi-Fi on your earbuds, and it becomes... So it accesses directly everything in the cloud, and that could be a very interesting in terms of the type of application that you can get, you can see.
Yeah, yeah. So as we explore a lot of these potential new companies that are out there, or potential new devices, do you think it's going to be largely I mean, are there space for new companies in, is there room for new companies in this space? Or will companies like Apple and Samsung that have such a dominant market right now in the smartwatch side, is it just going to be them, or are we going to start seeing more startups perhaps enter this space to try to get, you know, maybe the rings or the earbuds or the heads or the shoes or whatever?
Yeah, no, it's not only startups. In fact, even established companies. What we see, in fact, you look at the smartwatch market, it looks like Apple is dominant and it looks like they have everything. But no, they have, in fact, a proportion of the market that is less than 50%. In fact, they have more or less 30% of the market. And then you have the Google Watch, Wear OS Watch is like maybe 10% of the market. So over like 60% of the market is other type of smartwatches. And so there is a lot of... I would say segmentation. So lots of companies that provide specific smartwatches that are really targeting a type of audience that is requires something different. For instance, sport watches. If you think of sport watches, like people like Garmin or Polar, they really focus on sport, focus on your performance, and the users want this experience of the sport experience. So they don't want I would say a smartphone on your wrist, like what is the Apple Watch, more or less, but they want something that is very specific, tailored to their I would say interest and their experience.
Right.
So I think we continue to see that company will start to bring some different product that are based on that want to serve a specific audience with a specific need. So sport, fashion, maybe let's say watches for kids, for instance, or elderly watch for elderly people, and so on. So you can see all these kind of fragmentation of the market, and company will serve all these.
Or a specific watch for an elderly podcast host like me. that's how specific they're going to get. So when we're talking about you know these companies that are going to be making a lot of these things, what are the challenges that they're facing? Because and what priority, like what's the biggest challenge? And then, but there are you know, if you had a bullet list, there's a bunch of different challenges that they face. Like, what do you think would be the biggest right now?
Yeah, so I think there is the first challenge is basically the trade-off between power, weight, and form factor. So basically, the power, because it's a wearable device, it must be autonomous and can work for a long time from the battery. Battery life is very important. It's always the top. In fact, concern for all customers, in all surveys that you do, that's really battery life is number one. But of course, the battery is very heavy. If you look at the watch, in fact, typically the Google Watch or the Apple Watch, they are very thick because they need a big battery. So it has an impact on the form factor and it has an impact on the weight. I think the major, I would say challenge for any company that wants to build a wearable product is that how you balance these three dimensions.
Right. So is it constantly moving up and down where, you know, maybe a battery gets improved and you can make it smaller, but then that means you can then put either heavier weight, but if it gets too heavy, so is it constantly kind of shifting between those requirements?
Yeah, it's the battery itself. In fact, the battery technology, despite what Elon Musk says, it's more or less stable. It has not evolved since like 10 years or 20 years. So it's always the same density of energy that you get in your battery. So you cannot really reduce the battery. You cannot really reduce the battery by itself. So what you reduce is power consumption. So you have, you can do some smart designs, typically for smartwatches, you can do an hybrid design where you have a big processor and small processor, and the small processor can take care of all the time when you don't really interact with the watch, but you want at least to see the display.
Right.
So there are some smart ways that how you can reduce power. And then this is also an impact on the form factor, because of course, if you can reduce power, you can reduce the battery, then you can have a very sleek, watch. And it's very, for instance, important for glasses. So glasses, they have studies that have been made that people want the glass to weigh no more than 50 grams. So it's between 40 and 50 grams.
Right.
If it's more than 50 grams, it's not comfortable.
And that's what we're seeing with the Vision Pro and some of those VR headsets too, is that if, you know, they feel too heavy, you're not going to wear them for a long time. And
even
if, you know, every now and then my glasses get too heavy for me and I have to take them off. So I can imagine with all, if there was a lot of technology in there too. The quality of the materials also is important too, right? Because you don't want to make something that's, you know, you want to make it light, but then all of a sudden if they fall off your head or if you drop it and then it crashes in front of you, that's a bad thing, right?
Yeah, of course. It's like, so with the every wearable tech, in fact, we're in the realm of fashion. In fact, it's because you don't want to wear something that says I'm cheap.
Yeah.
So the quality, the look and feel, also the, and ultimately also the, you have the performance of your object. So you can always, in fact, some people, so we work with manufacturer and some people that sometimes make a mistake saying, okay, I'm just getting a cheap product that is made in China with, and I have all this feature list here. So they say, oh, I have all these features. You go to Alibaba, you can find like cheap wearables with all kind of features. But all these features, in fact, are completely subpar in terms of performance. And typically your sport analytics will be very bad. Let's say your steps will be counted badly.
Right.
Your heart rate
right.
will not be good. So the performance will be sub optimal, and then the user experience at the end will not be good.
Right.
And
I want to get back to the fashion factor a little bit too. Again, this is an area and a category where aesthetics are more important than in maybe other technology areas. I don't care really what my Wi-Fi router looks like, because it's usually hidden or it's on,
exactly.
You know, it's in a corner. It's not a fashion accessory, especially since I'm not going to be wearing my Wi-Fi router. So it has to be good looking. I think when the Google Glass came out, there were a lot of techies that were like, oh, this is great. But there was, you know, normal people were not going to be seen wearing it because it looked like it was just this big monstrosity that you had. So you had, you know, and I think Apple's seeing that as well. Like, people think that they look like ski goggles, and there is a bit more of a fashion focus that you have with wearables that you don't have with others, right?
Yeah, right. In fact, it's very important. What we see every time when all the people we talk to, it's very important for them to have this distinctive look. It's a statement. When you wear something, really, it's really intimate. It's a statement about yourself. It's like your clothes, it's
right.
your everything. So for consumer, it's very important that, the look and feel really correspond to what they think about themselves. So related to that, this is an area where any company can also differentiate themselves by creating something that is unique and that correspond to a very, very specific type of audience.
Right. So, do you think smart glasses are something that can go beyond just this augmented reality or virtual reality path that we're going down, and maybe you could have smart glasses that do different features, like just, you know, the ability for me to just go boom, record video, or, you know, record audio, or even just listen to audio maybe through the back part of the glasses. I mean, there's a lot of other things I could think of, but rather than just trying to create this gigantic, expensive device that, you know, where I'm sitting in a movie theater, I don't necessarily need to see that. But, you know, for content creation, it'd be great to just go boop and, you know, record some stuff.
Exactly. In fact, there are two categories in smart glasses. We have the few full, I would say AR, VR headset, like the one from Meta, or the one from Apple.
Yeah.
So yeah, these, if you look at these, when you do demonstration with these things, most of the time people are sitting because it's very, it's very intrusive. In fact, it gets all over your eyes, and it gives you all this information and so on. So it's very, disruptive. You cannot really work with these things. But we see also another category, which are the real, I would say the real wearable, because these other things like this big computer on your eyes, isn't there more like computers? But the wearable is really the I would say the holy grail of smart glasses are the ones that are really look like glasses and that weight like glasses and you can wear every day. So it's they are more like AR glasses, more than VR glasses.
Right.
And you can use them for audio, for video capture, or even to display some information.
I'm sure that there are some little tiny cameras you could put like right here in the, you know, in the bridge. And I'd probably have to go to like a spy store or something like that. There's probably already products.
You don't have to do that. In fact, it already exists.
Yeah.
It's a Ray-Ban. You know, the Ray-Ban.
Is that the one that Meta came out with?
Exactly. So Ray-Ban already has version 2 of these glasses that are do custom capture and audio. And the audio is very good because it's very close to your ears. So in fact, they use the bone connection to create audio. So it's great. It's a great audio. And also they capture the camera, but they're not yet AR glasses. No, they don't have the display.
Okay.
And, but we know a company. It's one of our partners. The company, the brand name is Engo, E-N-G-O. Mm-hmm. And they have glasses that have some display and that use mainly for sport people. So people that are really into fitness and sport, they can have real-time feedback about how good they are doing in their activity. So this exists already also. This kind of very small, very lightweight glasses to do some interaction.
Yeah, especially with fitness, I think that the less you kind of have to carry around with you, the better. And so it would be nice if, since I'm already wearing my glasses when I walk on the treadmill, it'd be nice to have something that, so I'm not carrying this and the bottle of water and it's all that other stuff. So I want to go down the rabbit hole with you a little bit more on potential form factors that we might not have thought of yet, or maybe you've seen them because you're in this space and you've seen probably some interesting designs out there. But I start thinking of like, you know, what about the nose? Have we taken advantage of, a little tiny nose ring that has a sensor on it maybe? Or I think we talked about smart earrings perhaps. You got necklaces. There are other accessories in the fashion world that maybe we haven't started to, we haven't seen some cool applications for. I think before the call, we were talking about gloves too. Like smart gloves would be something that might be taking, maybe in the wearable space.
All these could come. In fact, if you look you spend time looking, you find always a company that done one of these projects. So I know at least a company that does a necklace that is more for fitness. If you look at smart clothing, we talk about it in the beginning. There are all kind of smart clothing already existing. They have companies that have started some niche products. So they are still niche. In fact, they have not found yet a big audience. But I could think about it like these, basically earrings or, I would say maybe a cap or, a hat with some sensors and I could sense maybe your brain activity and saying, okay, you're basically thinking well, or you're in a good mood or you're not in good mood and, maybe give some information like that. So,
right.
These all are all open. We don't see a mass adoption yet, but for sure there will be companies that will try to design this type of products.
One of the things that was at Mobile World Congress, I don't know if you saw this, but it was a smart bracelet that you put, and it looked like it was just basically a phone.
It's Motorola.
And I looked at that and going, like, that I would never wear on my wrist because it just looks too heavy and looks too big. But it's nice to see these types of prototypes because it gets our imaginations going about potential other possibilities. So overall, are you optimistic about the potential for wearable computing, or is it just going to be niche products, maybe in the health and fitness space? or are we going to just gravitate towards the smartwatch for the near future?
Yeah, no. What I see, in fact, is basically companies building user experiences. So it's really about the user experience. It's not really about the object itself. You can think about like the user experience. Typically, what I'm mentioning about these glasses, sport glasses that work in conjunction with your watch. Right? And if you have a sport watches, you have the glasses. So you have the watch to measure, do the measurement, and you have the glasses to display the measurement. So, and this is the whole user experience, the whole the ultimate, in fact, fitness experience. And you can see, in fact, the integration of these three things, maybe your shoes, your watch, and they all contribute to giving the perfect experience in terms of the sport aficionados that you are. So I think that this type of integration of various objects into a perfect user experience, that's what I'm thinking is a very good direction for the wearable. So it's I believe that there will be continue to be some innovation in the field, and they will work. Yeah, this would be this integration of experience. Yeah. Would be a part of the innovation.
But then one of the issues is if we do see an explosion of these types of devices, there's probably not a common ecosystem or an operating system that can manage all of this. It's probably going to be focused on one vendor will integrate everything on one side, and then the second vendor. And so there won't be, I haven't seen anything yet. Have you seen anything where there's like a wearable operating system, common open source type thing from the software, from the software side, or no? It's like when you guys work with software, you have to work towards the specific device that is being operated on, right?
Yeah, yeah. So on our side, we try to provide this kind of integration with our own VWare OS. So we try to provide integration because we can work on any type of object, in fact. And at the end, it's for sure it will be a manufacturer focus. So one manufacturer, yeah, will have a kind of his own range of objects, but there are some standards that are starting to happen, like the for glasses. There's a company called Active Look trying to build like a standard or a definition for how you interact with smart glasses.
Yeah.
So you can have the same. I could foresee that. Maybe at one point these manufacturers will come together and say, okay, let's build at least some common exchange standards so you can integrate these objects with each other.
Yeah, and this is something. Maybe those manufacturers could then, because it's technically an Internet of Things type thing, an IoT.
Exactly.
So maybe they work with home network and home kind of automation systems, and I think there was that Matter.
Exactly. That's a good parallel because in the home, everybody said, okay, it's very fragmented. There is no common ecosystem. It will never happen, and so on. And right now in the smart home, it's happening. Like people are now, everybody is supporting the Matter, which is a standard for interconnection between objects. So I think, yeah, once we have like the body is instrumented with all kind of object, I think it's a natural evolution would be, okay, let's build a standard so this kind of whole body network can work together.
I don't think I'd ever want to hear the term Internet of Bodies or
I think there was a concept like that in the past.
A lot, a long time ago, there was something about where humans were going to become their own access points for networking, and there was this concept of the personal area network where
that's right,
then you could provide Wi-Fi for your friends because you know you would have this device that was on you. I don't think that necessarily went anywhere, and Bluetooth is still around. I think most everything is going to go still through the phone, so I think we're kind of stuck with that for a while.
There is also a concept that you could use a watch as the main processor, so that's one of the, basically it's no secret, but that's what Meta is targeting. They want to basically propose, I would say, a system where the glasses interact with some other device that could be in your pocket or in your wrist, and it's, they kind of bypass the phone.
because they the don't phone have a phone. They don't have
exactly.
A phone.
They belong. Yeah. The phone belongs to the other guys.
Yeah, I think Google and Apple would probably be like, nah, you know, we're good. So, Samir Hadid, Haddad, thank you so much for talking with us today on the show about wearable computing. Some exciting stuff happening in the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Keith.
All right. That's all
thank
the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Thank you. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and add any thoughts that you have below. Join us every week for new episodes of Today in Tech. I'm Keith Shaw. Thanks for watching.